This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
I've got on the line now Nicole Ickenberg. She's the policy manager for climate change for the WWF. Nicole, thank you very much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Adam. Thank you for inviting me onto the program.
It's great to have you here. Now, start off by telling us, what on earth is carbon trading?
Oh, yes. Well, it's certainly a topic that's been in the media for a while now. Basically, it's putting a price on carbon. In Australia now, currently, polluters are releasing greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, and they're polluting for free. So basically, an emissions trading scheme would be putting a price on carbon. So a polluter would need to buy a permit before they can release gases into the atmosphere.
So basically, say they're putting out 100 somethings of it, they would actually be paying a dollar value per unit they'd be emitting.
That's exactly it. And to provide flexibility, the government's proposing what's called a cap and trade system. So for those people who need to pollute, not all businesses will continue to pollute. Some may choose to reduce their emissions through energy efficiency measures. Some will switch to maybe different, less fuel-intensive sources. So for the ones that can't or don't, they will need to purchase permits. And so there will be a cap on the number of permits, which will dictate the price. So basically, it won't be unlimited. There will only be a certain amount of pollution allowed into the atmosphere, and then so businesses will buy permits, and they can also trade. So so that one business needs 30 permits. They can offer to buy that off someone who doesn't need all their permits. So it'll be a very flexible system.
Is this going to affect all businesses, or is it more so like the industrial sector?
It will affect all businesses, but not directly. There'll be indirect effect. The government's predicting that only around 1,000 businesses will be affected. So they will pass through the costs to other consumers and other businesses, for example, through increasing their prices.
The money that the government's making from charging for the licences, do we know what they're going to spend that money on? Will that be directly put back into the environment?
We would very much like to see that. There's been discussion about how that money should be spent, because of course this is a lot of revenue coming back to the government. We would like to see it recycled actually into programs that promote Australia continuing on a low emission trajectory. So, for example, with increased costs, perhaps money going back to low income households or regional assistance with all sorts of programs there. And one of the most important things is, of course, promoting research and development in low emission technology, in renewable energy in Australia. So actually putting that money back to provide incentives for that sort of development, and also implementation and infrastructure, that sort of thing.
I understand. Now, there's been some great developments recently in Canberra, I believe, to do with carbon pollution reduction scheme.
That's right. One of the things that we like to emphasise is that the carbon pollution reduction scheme it takes on a lot of things, and it's more than just an emissions trading scheme, or rather, it needs to be more than just a emissions trading scheme. There's no one solution. It's got to be a package. I heard someone describing it the other day as there's no silver bullet, there's lots of silver buckshot, and that's precisely what it is. We need investment into renewable energy, into energy efficiency. The government's already committed to a 20% renewable energy target by 2020 for Australia. So that sort of thing is great. But we need an environmentally effective package, so one that works towards a target that makes deep cuts in Australia's emissions of at least 25% by 2020.
And I believe they've predicted it's going to actually cost them a lot less than previously estimated.
Absolutely. The Treasury modelling that came out last week basically says that Australia can continue to grow strongly and prosper economically while making deep cuts to emissions. So it's great news.
It is. Now, globally, there's UN conferences in both Poland and Copenhagen on this topic coming up.
That's right. Basically, what's happening in the international situation is we've got the Kyoto Protocol, and that's an international agreement that finishes in 2012. So it's great up till then, but there's been a lot of negotiations on the next agreement. And so that's what we heard about at Bali last year. Developed countries, for example, recognised that they needed to make a substantial contribution, and that contribution really should be around a 25 to 40% reduction in emissions by 2020. And Poznan really needs to develop this further. We need a clear work plan out of the government and the international community, and a clear timetable. The big meeting in Copenhagen at the end of next year really needs to have a text that everyone can agree to. So the emissions reduction targets for the next period after Kyoto, after 2012, what's going to happen with transferring money and low emissions technology to assist developing nations, continue sustainable development, and make sure that they reduce their emissions too. And also a very big item is looking at deforestation. 20% of the world's emissions actually come from deforestation and land change. So,
wow.
Well, yeah, it's a huge amount. So it's a very tricky issue, but it's certainly one that we are hoping to see addressed in this next agreement.
Do you see the election yesterday of Barack Obama in the US being a positive thing for these decisions coming up?
Well, basically, I mean, WWF, of course, is a non-political organisation, so we're working to achieve the best environmental outcome in Australia and globally. Certainly, the hope is that the US will now act as a leader on climate change. Barack Obama is committed to reducing the US emissions, which is great, and he looks like he's got a huge raft of policies that he wants to implement domestically, including huge amounts of investment, like I think $150 billion over the next 10 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Which at the end of the day, it does cost money for these things to happen.
Absolutely, but there's also the benefit. You create new industries, you create new jobs through this. So there's an absolutely positive spin on all this, and opportunities for all countries, not just the United States, also for Australia, to create new green jobs.
So it's great to see the governments around the world are actually making moves to reduce emissions. What can my listeners do to make a difference?
There's a whole raft of things that can be done. Looking at the home environment, for example. A listener's hot water system has gone bust and they need to invest in a new one, look at solar hot water rather than electric or gas. Look at insulation. A frightening number of Australian homes and businesses don't have proper insulation. So have a look at what sort of insulation, if any, you have in the ceiling at your home, and look at seeing if there's a government rebate that you can latch onto there. Same with solar hot water, there's government rebates for part of the cost there. And all sorts of little energy efficiency things at home in terms of switching off appliances when they're not being used, and lights, that sort of thing. And also switching to green power, which is renewable energy, which is encouraging development of renewable energy industry in Australia. So all those things, there's a whole raft of things that can be done, and it's basically up to people to decide what's affordable for them and what sort of commitment they want to make. The more the better, of course.
Nicole, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us. I've got one final question, just for the total dummies. Is carbon trading and trading and emissions trading the same thing?
Look, it is. It is, in essence, the same thing. We like to think of emissions trading and carbon pollution as needing a cap, cap to it. So the cap equals the target. Australia committing, for example, to a target of 25% reduction in emissions by 2020, and the trading allows businesses flexibility in case they need to buy extra permits for the emissions they can't actually eliminate.
Nicole, thank you very much for taking the time to give us a bit of a dummy's guide to carbon trading.
No worries, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
My pleasure. There you go. That's Nicole Ickenberg. She's the Policy Manager for Climate Change for the WWF. If you'd like to find out more about all the great things that WWF do, just go to wwf.org.au.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.